Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today, Friday, January 6th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
All kinds of crazy things happening today, and I think first we should get to the gold pricing in the markets, and then we'll talk about various things that are happening today, happening right now. And gold today, it's been a hectic day. Gave back a little bit of its gains from yesterday. Not bad, down 830. 830 for gold today at 1172.90. Silver's down 11 cents at 1654. Platinum, basically unchanged at 971. Palladium, up 19, up almost 2.5%, 761. That's just a lot of enthusiasm of automobiles and jewelry. But anyway, we'll see what else is going on. The USDX also pumped back up today, 0.79 at 102.18. And crude oil down 10 cents at 53.66. I guess that's a new financial term. Pumped up?
Pumped up.
Pump me up. Remember the Hans and Franz from Saturday Night Live?
I didn't. That was before my time, Melody, but
I've heard
about it. Yeah.
You agreed. You said
My grandparents told me about it. I didn't see it myself.
Hans and Franz, you pumped me up. Anyway. Mm-hmm. I tickled myself today. Anyway, let's move on. Paper markets. I'm getting there. Paper markets today. The Dow, 19,000. It did hit it. Didn't close. 19,999.63.
That was the hot high for the day?
It hit. Yeah, that was the intraday high. 19,999. Couldn't do it. Now, how do you keep a lousy 40?
Tenth of a point or something like that?
How do you keep it from not? I mean,
some cheapskate. Some cheapskate out there just wasn't going to spend the last $5. He could have spent it, could have put it over, but no.
No, I figured maybe the guy behind the computer took a little nap and he didn't see what it, he forgot to enter.
It may be. It may be that the guy behind the computer is paying close attention and making sure that it doesn't hit 20,000. Because all of the speculation about when it's going to hit 20,000 might be good for business. Everybody's looking. Has it hit 20,000 yet? Has it hit 20,000 yet? It may be actually increasing their how much business they're doing.
That's what I said last week. I mean, it's the excitement of getting up to 20,000, so it could be.
But and if we get there finally, then it all dies. All right, we've been there.
It all tanks. Anyway, the Dow closed up 64 points at 19,964.01. The NASDAQ was up 33 points at 55.21.06, and the S&P was up 7.98 at 2276.98. 10-year yield today climbed back up a little bit on the yield, 2.42% on the 10-year, up 0.05. Euro was holding at 105, but it took a big dip today at 0.68. European markets pretty much unchanged. And I wonder what the emotion driving the market, the fear and greed, 69, has been holding there for a couple days now. So they're just not quite sure where they want to go. If we need to be a little fearful, or maybe I can stay greedy for just a little bit longer. So again, it's interesting to see what the trend is and on various indexes to see what that is. Couple things going on. Let me bring up. I guess, again, we've had a situation in the Fort Lauderdale airport.
Yep.
Five were shot dead. Now, the reports are, and again, we always hear different things and so forth, but supposedly the gunman came off a Canadian flight and the gun was checked in bag. He is in custody, 26, male, American, born in Jersey. That's all I've had a chance to follow up on, is we've had a hectic afternoon here this Friday afternoon. So there's this, I believe, happened in the baggage claim area. So, you know, but if he brought it in on a checked bag, you know,
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Is this mean in Canada you can just put anything you want in the luggage and nobody pays any attention?
Well, I would think, well, they don't like it. You know, they're very restrictive on weapons in Canada. So that's kind of a little surprising. Now, I don't know where he came from. Maybe he flew into Canada first and then came down here. But let me just touch on this article here. The gunman killed 5 people and injured 8 at the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport. He was identified as Esteban Santiago.
Irish guy, huh?
Yeah. He is thought to have been a passenger on a flight from Canada that landed at the around noon with a checked gun in his baggage. After retrieving his bag, Santiago is believed to have gone into the bathroom, loaded the weapon, then he stepped into terminal tube and carried out his deed. He was carrying some form of military ID. He is suspected of, how can you be suspected of being a former U.S. Army soldier from the New York area? It's interesting how they didn't bring him down.
Yeah, it is interesting. Generally, that doesn't end with the perpetrator walking out alive. He may have been. It doesn't say he was wounded, does it?
It doesn't.
Must have run out of bullets or something. Somehow somebody grabbed him or something happened there. That's a strange situation. Those sorts of events are generally a suicide mission.
This article is saying something about the second incident alarmed passengers already rattled. So I'm not quite sure what that is about. Perhaps, you know, how people get a little
probably
anxious.
Some Canadian carrying hand grenades or something onto the airplane. It's disturbing.
So that has happened this afternoon, and of course there is supposedly a humongous storm traveling up the East Coast, a nor'easter, and I believe the Carolinas and Norfolk is supposed to get, you know, a foot of snow or more, and you know, with high winds, it's really the winds that makes it so dangerous. Because you could have a snow flurry, and if it's windy out, you can't see anything. So when you have winds and it snows, it really doesn't matter how much snow you're getting. It is blinding and can be very dangerous. So along the eastern coast, there's certainly a lot of emergency warnings and so forth. And I believe where I'm at, we're also under, you know, some sort of a...
Well, where is the storm right now? Where is it? It's headed northeast, apparently, but where is it? Is it down off Georgia, or is it...
I haven't followed it. When it gets here, it gets here. When it gets here, as long as it's not a hurricane with, you know, 100-mile-an-hour winds, I'm good. I don't need... But what's interesting, when I went to the post office today, I heard the news and the radio, and they had actually said that my little town of Berlin was under some sort of an emergency snow ordinance or something. And I thought, what? We're only here in Berlin, we're only supposed to get maybe 8 inches, which is no big deal when you come from central Pennsylvania. And it was like you couldn't be out if you didn't have snow chains or snow tires.
Yep.
I was like, are you kidding me? You're making, ridiculous. But
I lived in Colorado years ago. This would go back into the 60s. And somebody was driving over Loveland Pass. And I don't know what the elevation is there. It's probably 10,000 feet or something like that at Loveland Pass. And it's high. And it's, you know, snowing. There's a blizzard going on. And he sees tracks going off the side, going off the road and down. Right, so he parks, follows the tracks down in the midst of this blizzard, finds a pickup truck down there, and he knew it was fresh because the blizzard, the tracks hadn't been filled with snow yet, and it would only take a little while before the blizzard would cover the track. So it knew this just happened. Went down there. The doors of the pickup truck were wide open. It had rolled and whatever, and there was nobody to be found. He thought that the driver had apparently been flung out of the vehicle, and he was probably in the snow someplace where he couldn't be seen, maybe buried in the snow. He went and got help. They had 15, 20 people helping with poles and going down here. And this is like 6 o'clock at night. It's already dark. It's freezing. It's blizzard. And they're looking for this guy's body. And when they get done, they finally just can't find him. And they go into town. And here's a man. They get into town at a local saloon. And here's this guy sitting at the bar, and he's got a row of shot glasses in front of him, and he's just knocking one down and knocking another one down. There's this sort of thing. And he looks over. The guy who's been looking for the missing driver sits down next to him, and the guy who's drinking the shots, he said, "Would you believe it? I went off Loveland Pass tonight." So while they were searching for this guy's body, he had hitchhiked into town to get drunk. So I thought that was an interesting story, Melody. Maybe other people agree, but
I'm glad you shared it with us.
Well, it's something for all of you on the East Coast who are perhaps going to get snowed in by a blizzard. We're having snow here in Dallas, which is strange.
Yeah.
I mean, it really has accumulated on the ground a little bit. I'm half inch if that, but but it's nice to see. I actually enjoy seeing it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad to see that it can still snow Dallas.
I'll send you some.
Good. Put some of those tomatoes in with it. Put them in with the tomatoes. Try to get them here within the next month or 6 weeks.
All right. Something else interesting today. Today, U.S. Congress certifies Trump's Electoral College victory. They certified the college vote. They gave Donald Trump his victory. And it really is amazing that there were some Democratic challenges. Now, I'm sure it was just, and they were listened to.
They have to listen.
They have to listen to them. But it is amazing. It's like, guys, everybody's got a right to voice their opinion. But, come on, move on. There's bigger things happening in this world, in this country what's it going to get you? It's just, to me, just wasted air, wasted time.
Well, it's the sort of thing that may discredit the Democrats more than anything else. And I don't mean that the whole Democratic Party or anything like that should be judged by a handful of Democrats may have lodged a complaint, but it's a certain amount of, it takes all kinds to make a political party, and some of the kinds got up there and made some complaints. But in the end, is it going to do them any good? Is it going to do them some harm?
But it really surprises me that, even at this point in time, you had members of the House of Representatives objected to the electoral tally in states, including Alabama, Florida, Michigan, Texas, Mississippi, and the Carolinas, in a symbolic move that exposed lingering dismay. Some members complained about long lines at polling stations, while others cited concerns over Russian attempts to influence the result in Trump's favor. There was even a protester that was ejected during the joint session of Congress. It's like, really? They have more time on their hands than I do. But anyway, it's over. It's done. We have President Donald Trump.
Elected.
He is now certified and will take office on January 20th.
Yep. Two weeks.
Yep. Two weeks.
Two more weeks and we will have a new president, and I don't know that I'm exactly all that excited about having a new president, but I am pretty much pleased about getting rid of the one we have.
He has really done, but that would be a whole program talking about the things that man has done to this country. But,
talking about Obama, of course.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And how people can still support, it's just like... Anyway, there was some financial news articles. We had job numbers today, and I did have them here. But when you were telling me about the snow, I lost it, Al.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was got buried in the blizzard.
Maybe it got... But there's a record 95 million Americans still not in the labor force.
Yeah. But they don't count. They're not in the labor force. But they don't count as being unemployed.
The final jobs report shows that the number of Americans on the labor force has increased by 14.5 million. That's 18% since January of 2009, mm-hmm. when Obama took office. In December, according to the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics, a record 95.102 million Americans were not in the labor force, 47,000 more than in November. And the labor force participation rate was 62.7%, a tenth of a point higher than in November. And so we're looking at another, the participation rate dropped to a 38-year low of 62.4 in September of 2015. It was only three-tenths of a point higher than that last month. We have people over the age 16 who are no longer working or even looking for work for whatever reason. Let's see what else, any other numbers in here. The BLS at the department, the December unemployment rate increased a tenth of a point to 4.7%. Well, last month, a record 152 million Americans were counted as employed, and that was up 63,000 from November. Let's see what else is going on. I'll see if I can't find, I'll pull up the employment numbers when we go to break here in just a few minutes and report those when we come back from break. I do have a little special today. I have, it's a gold and silver special, and there's two specials. We have a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, and we have a tube of 20 1 ounce silver rounds. This includes your shipping cost for $690. Now, if you would like to upgrade your silver to the American Silver Eagle, 2017 is the date. There'll be the new ones. And also a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle. That package is $730. So $690 with your quarter ounce gold and your silver rounds. You can upgrade your silver to the 2017 Silver Eagles for $730. And we do have people standing by to take your calls. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And just remember, if you're listening to a rebroadcast on a Saturday or at 11 at night or something like that, well, yes, there wouldn't be anybody there to take your calls. But please leave a message, and we'll get back to you our next business day.
Okay, we're going to take a break for a couple commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I wanted to mention non-farm payrolls today grew by 156,000 jobs in December, and it did miss expectations. It was basically overshadowed by a sharp gain in wages. And again, a lot of the story, average hourly wages jumped 10 cents to $26, representing a 2.9% annualized gain. That comes a month after wages showed a modest decline. The average work week was unchanged at 34.3 hours.
Well, that works out to an extra $3.30 per person.
Well, the thing of it is, again,
per week,
it's fine what your wages do, but what's your disposable income? When you have your, you know, health insurance increase 60%, well, when your wages increase 60%, then I'll be a little more excited, or 10% or something. But yeah, I mean, but and I get what the report does and what is expected, but. But still, yeah, there's way. Healthcare led the way with 43,000 new jobs, while bars and restaurants added 30,000. Social assistance. I can't remember it. Social assistance being a group that was reported separately grew by 20,000. Transportation and warehousing added 15,000. Financial services saw a gain of 13,000. In manufacturing, again, it's a weak point. Supposedly, they saw 15,000 new jobs, the same total as business and professional services. At the same time, the declining workforce also stood out. Those continued, the labor force increased to 95, which we already talked about. But again, you got to remember that 38 years, that takes us back to 1970s. You can say 38 years, 32 years, yeah, but you think about 1970. So tell me that this economy, so tell me that things are going well in this country and in this economy.
We peaked in the 1970s, and we have not really gained for the average person since then. And whatever gains may even appear to exist are perhaps primarily based on
debts.
Yeah. And what happened in the 1970s? That's when the dollar became 1971. The dollar became a pure fiat currency. They'd already relieved the dollar of it. It was no longer backed by gold or silver domestically within the United States. But up until 71, foreigners who held dollars could still redeem them for gold. Well, 1971, Nixon closed the gold window. The currency became pure fiat. And we have at best, and I mean, really, we've pretty much stagnated ever since. Haven't had a collapse, per se, at least not yet. No real booms. You know, we've had some better times and some worse times. But we were gaining up until the 1970s, and since then, we have just been treading water. We've been holding in place, primarily. Insofar as that's true, it's not proof that the reason, the fundamental reason for our stagnation is a lack of gold or silver to back our money. But there's a good chance that that lies at the core of the explanation. Why haven't we progressed? Why haven't we prospered? Why are we living in debt, debt, debt? And the answer is because we got rid of, we finally eliminated the tie between the fiat dollar and gold. And since then, it's been increasingly interesting, and it looks like it's going to get even more interesting as we get into 2017. And sooner or later, it's going to become so interesting, it's going to be devastating. But we'll watch and see how long it takes to get there.
One more thing, we talked about this during the break, and I'm not going to read it or anything like that, but folks, if you can't sleep tonight, they did release the full intelligence report on Russia interfering with the U.S. election. It's declassified, so you get to read the whole thing. You can read the full intelligence report. So if you're bored tonight and not sleepy and you want to fall asleep, you can read.
Do you have any idea of what the full intelligence report reports?
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm curious. I mean, they're releasing this. This is almost like Obama's last gesture, one of his last gestures of spite in this country. It might be, does the report say that Russia's guilty? Does it say they're innocent?
Well, it says that Putin ordered a campaign to undermine faith in the process. I mean, I don't believe this report has anything that we don't already know, or they wouldn't have released it, you know, for public consumption to read. So, but the U.S. intelligence on Friday accused Russia of interfering of the 2016 election in its strongest terms yet, and it's backing up for the Obama's sanctions on Russia. But so they're blaming Putin as, you know, ordering a campaign to disturb the election. Now, they both say it didn't have anything to do with the actual voting or the outcome. But the findings came in an unclassified report today by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence that goes into the most detailed yet on what it calls Russian meddling in the U.S. election.
And we would never do that
meddling.
To Russia.
They're meddling.
We would never meddle in the political affairs of Russia because we are just a little too refined and gentlemanly to do those sorts of things. But those dastardly Russians allegedly meddled in our election.
Just meddle.
I can tell you that I wouldn't blame the Russians for doing so. I'm not convinced that they did, but everyone seemed the opinion that Hillary Clinton, if she was elected, she would initiate a third world war against, for us against Russia. A lot of people held that opinion. Now, and I think, and Putin was one of them. He said at one point, if Hillary's elected, it's war. Now, whether that's right, whether that's wrong, I don't have no doubt that Putin and Russia actually believed that if Hillary was elected, we would go to war.
Well,
and
no.
Under those circumstances, if I was sitting there as prime minister or president of Russia or whatever, I would say, hey, change that election. We can't have that woman elected. Why not?
You know
it's
what?
Easier than going to nuclear war.
Yeah, but you know what, Al? It's not even that. Every country in the world, if they can meddle, will meddle. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just the state of the...
Yeah, I understand.
The problem is, where's the leadership that says, hey, we believe Russia tried to meddle into our election. I want to know how, I want to know why, and I want to know who did not do their job in order to allow that to happen.
I understand.
That's what needs to be done. They need to find out. And was it because of Hillary's server in a closet? And her connection, her emails to the DNC. So how far did that follow? Did they get into just the DNC? Or were they now able to get into Hillary's emails? That's where the investigation needs to go. There's no reason why, if this country is supposed to be the most advanced in technology, why we can't have someone that can prevent the hacking from other countries. I mean, even China's...
Well, there's the problem, Melody. Hacking from other countries, I doubt if you can prevent that without also preventing hacking from within this country. And there's a bunch of people in this country, so far as I'm able to at least imagine, that they want to be able to hack into the election. They want to be able to change the votes and whatever. We've heard the stories for 10, maybe 20 years. Now, the true stories, the conspiracy theories, I don't know, but I am, you know, I can't tell you, I'm 60% confident that Hillary Clinton tried to hack into the election herself and change percentages in one place or another. I don't know it to be true, and I could be wrong. But we've heard the stories repeatedly, and this story about Russia potentially hacking the election, that's actually maybe going to do us some good. We may actually set up an election system before this is done that is extremely difficult to influence from the outside and defraud and whatever by posting
sure
votes
that
were never actually cast.
That's what this is all about, Al. They want to change the election process. That's why they're so much focused on this. They want to change it. They want to go in there and, you know, maybe do something to the electoral votes and change it the way the states counted or so forth. That's what it's all about.
Well, somebody's always hustling. There's always some smart guy someplace, whether
like
it's somebody in Russia or somebody in Washington, D.C., who thinks he's smart enough that he can betray the fundamental idea of an open, honest election. He can betray that, pervert it, and use it to his own advantage. And if it was me, if I were sitting in the White House and there was any speculation, there was any evidence that people had tried to violate the fundamental, just the fairness of the election by casting false votes, I'd have him charged with treason. And if a jury found him guilty, I'd hang him by the neck until dead. And it would, once people understand you mess with the vote, you die. There'd be a whole lot less attempts to pervert the elections in this country. And I don't know that there are, I don't know how bad this attempt to violate election ethics. I don't know how serious that is. I don't know if it's real, if it's significant, but I guarantee I've been hearing about it 20 years at least, maybe 25, from sources who act as if they're credible, and they seem to think there is. All right, put an end to it. We catch you changing any votes, casting any dead people's votes, rest of it. We're gonna light you up. Got 30 days, trial for treason starts. If you're found guilty, bye-bye.
Well, I mean, you know...
No, that'll stop it.
Well, I mean, we can say that with everything. We can say that with drugs. We can say that with,
no,
with any
that
crime.
Depends.
We can
when
say with
treason,
any crime. We can say
treason
with any
is
crime.
A specific
it would put a
thing.
Stop to everything.
You're essentially making war on the United States of America and treason, and or giving aid and comfort to our enemies. You can make the argument that people who try to falsify the election, try to pervert the election, are giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the people of the United States of America. You can make that argument. Will the jury accept it? Will they believe it? I don't know. But you can make
that's
that argument, and a lot of people say,
but
yeah, buddy,
really
I agree with you.
It is hard to prove.
No, I don't think it
but
would
anyway.
Be. If you were really looking for this, if they were serious about it, I think both parties are guilty of this. In different places. I don't mean across the whole nation, but it happens. You have, you know, the town of whatever, name a town.
It's probably happened for 100, 200
years. Oh, it's probably. They've been trying to falsify the election since the elections began. Somebody's been trying to figure out how to beat the system and avoid the will of the majority and impose his will instead. Stalin was the one who was famous for saying it doesn't matter who votes in the election, it matters who counts the votes. You know?
Yeah, but I
Stalin
think
in Russia.
Time, I think this time it has shown people that votes, if we believe that our votes did count this time. I mean, there's discussion.
Well,
there's discussions, too, that, you know, Mr. Trump is exactly who they wanted.
Right.
You know, so I mean, yes, you could debate it both ways.
There's a conspiracy theory
for
every conspiracy
theory. Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
multiple. Here's one of the things that's kind of along those lines. It's this is from Ms. Shedlock, and the headline is "Fear of Big Government Near Record High Despite Trump Win." Now, this is interesting to me because I have had an anti-government status attitude. I don't know, now 30 years or more. And most of the time I thought I was you know, a voice in the wilderness. We could get a little support. We didn't get much, but this is interesting to me because it turns out that maybe we were closer all along than we imagined. Gallup has an interesting poll out today concerning top fears of U.S. citizens.
Even now, you've told me many times you're not true anti-government. You're
no, I'm anti-corrupt government. I'm pro-constitutional government.
To me, I believe there is a difference.
Oh, yeah. I understand. You know, so it's like, whose government, whose law is going to control?
You know, so.
And the government we have, they say, well, our statutes are going to control. I'm sitting here saying, no, our Constitution is going to control. Mm-hmm. All right? Who's the boss? That's what this is about. Who is going to be the boss? Will government just write any statute they want without regard to the limitations imposed by the Constitution? If they can, then they're the boss. They are the sovereigns. On the other hand, if we the people, if our Constitution means anything, it sets limits and it says you can't do this, can't do this, can't do this. There's only 17 things basically in the Article 1 of the Constitution that you can do. And the government says, they don't want to be bound by the Constitution, and that's the complaint. Are you, you know, who's the boss? If it's we the people, the Constitution controls. If it's the government, the statutes control. Which one? This article is fear of big government near record high despite Trump win. Gallup has an interesting poll out today concerning top fears of U.S. citizens. Despite the election of Donald Trump, Americans still see big government as top threat. As businessman Donald Trump prepares to become the nation's 45th president, Americans continue to express more concern about the threat of big government that it poses to the United States than big business or big labor. Two out of three Americans, 67%, identify big government as the country's biggest threat. Two-thirds of the people. Now, I guarantee you, if I had any idea that the numbers were that high, that's a surprise to me. And I have been among those people for 30 years who are concerned about big government, and yet I had no idea how common the sentiment was, which is not to say that it was 67% 30 years ago or 20 years, but it is 67% now. That's below the record high of 72% in 2013, but still on the higher end of the range since the mid-60s. Americans have consistently been more concerned about big government, big business, and big labor since Gallup first asked this question in 1965. Concern peaked in 2013, the year a healthcare exchange opened under the Affordable Care Act. And former NSA contractor Edward Snowden revealed information about government spying tactics. Worry about big government spiked to a record high of 38% in 2002 after corporate scandals. Excuse me. Worry about big business spiked to a record high of 38% in 2002 after corporate scandals at Enron, WorldCom, and Tyco. Made headlines. It rose to 31% in 2008 after government bailouts of banks and Bernie Madoff's massive Ponzi scheme. The point behind this is that the whole country, the majority of people in this country, are concerned and they understand that the government is the biggest enemy of the people of the United States of America. And that is a powerful patriotic statement, and I'll tell you why when we get back. Take a couple commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. And when we closed off the last segment of the program, we were talking about why it's a healthy sign that people don't trust the government. It is a wonderful sign, right? It is the essence of being a good American to distrust the government. And a lot of people say, well, that's crazy talk. No, it's not. The Founding Fathers understood clearly that the biggest threat we would ever face in this country would not be coming from England or China or Russia or anybody else. It's coming from Washington, D.C. And they did what they could with the Constitution to chain the SOBs down in Washington. They tried to give us limited government. We have three branches of government instead of having one governmental entity that can do anything it wants. The idea was when we had separation of powers, the three fundamental branches of government would be contesting among themselves, and it would help to prevent government from exerting too much force and authority on the people. We have First Amendment, freedom of speech. It isn't freedom to talk about what the Kardashians are doing today. Freedom of speech is the freedom to speak about what's going on in politics. Freedom of the press, again, it's not about gossip columns. The reason they guaranteed the freedom of press is so if one man finds what government is doing, and they knew they'd be, you couldn't trust them. If one man finds what government is doing, he could print it, he could publish it. It was legal and lawful, and he could put the word out, and he could help by informing other people of what government was doing wrong. He could help to prevent or inhibit government from being wrong. Second Amendment. It's not about shooting ducks and deer and whatever. It was to protect the people of the states of the Union against the government, the federal government. All of the first 10 amendments, their fundamental purpose is to prevent the federal government from exerting too much force and authority over the states of the Union. That's what the 10 amendments were for. And the point I'm trying to make is that the genius of the American Constitution, the United States, the Constitution of the United States, the genius is that it is fundamentally an anti-government document. It tries to limit the powers of government. It gives you means and tools and rights to hold them in check as best you can if you care to, if you pay attention. Because they knew you set up a government, it will attract, you know, it will attract crooks and criminals the same way banks attract bank robbers. All right? They're coming. They're going to, it's true for governments around the world. It's not just our government. It's the nature of government to be a criminal enterprise. People use government powers to exploit other people. Well, unlike most constitutions that are created for new countries, new governments, whatever, our Constitution did not enshrine the government. It enshrined the people and said, all right, we're going to trust you with some powers, but only limited powers. And you can't do this, 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 and we get these rights. They did everything they understood how to do in order to prevent government abuse of powers. And from that perspective, I would say that I've said it for years, Constitution is an anti-government document. Government doesn't like it. It's the chain that holds government in place. They don't want that chain. They want to get rid of that Constitution. They want to diminish it, minimize it. All right? The Constitution is an anti-government document. From my perspective, being a good American means living in harmony with the fundamental principles of the Constitution of the United States. I don't think many people would object to that argument. And when you look at this and you begin to understand, wait a second, the principal point behind this Constitution was to inhibit government, restrict government, limited government. It is an anti-government document. That's where I reached the conclusion that when people are afraid of government and they are skeptical of government, it's evidence that we are properly, we're doing our job correctly here. So when I see this article that says fear of big government near record high despite Trump win, I'm saying, yeah, buddy. If 67% of this country identify government as the country's biggest threat, I guarantee you there are politicians out there who understand this, and whether they like it or they don't like it, they're going to capitalize on it. And they will be catering to people. If 67% of the electorate doesn't like big government, there's going to be more and more politicians say, okay, let's get rid of big government. Not because they're patriots per se, but because they're just looking out for themselves. I can get elected if I vote, if I run on the basis of we're against big government. It's true for anybody who wants to go high probability. That would be an issue if you can express it properly. It'll be an issue that will resonate with the majority of the voters. So, yada, yada. I'm delighted. Fear of big government near record high. Great. All right? Because that may help keep this hold this government at bay. I'll give you another point on this. This is an aside. This doesn't really follow with what we're just talking about. But does anybody know, after basically 8 years of having Barack Obama in the White House, does anybody know for a fact what he's in favor of? Is he in favor of Muslims? Is he in favor of homosexuals? Is he in favor of the poor? Is he in favor of blacks? Is he in favor of big business? Is he in favor of global peace? Is he in favor of global war? What does that guy actually stand for? After 8 years, I'm not sure that I can say. Does anybody really know? It's like he dabbled in everything. There's things he does that were favoring big business. There's things that seemingly favored the poor. I wonder sometimes, what was Obama all about? Maybe others, I don't know, Melody, do you know what he was all about? Or is it a little of a bit of a mystery to you too?
He liked the Muslims.
Oh, I know.
He had quite a few in his administration.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
You could see.
And yet he's causing the deaths of Muslims in the Middle East with his military policy, foreign policy. On the one hand, he's encouraging Muslims to enter this country, and he's encouraging Muslims to take positions of authority and power within the government of the United States. On the other hand, he's bombing the bejesus out of their relatives over in Syria or wherever.
It just depends on what tribe he belongs to.
Well, I understand.
He released, those from, he's trying to get the rest of them released from Guantanamo.
Where's the consistency, though? You know, I'd like to say, is he a liberal? Is he a conservative?
He had passion.
What has he?
He had passion for gun control.
How'd that work out for him?
Well, I mean, no, that wasn't your question. Your question was, what was he? And that was his agenda. One of his agendas.
I think he was in favor of big government. Big and bigger government. And I think it's no accident that fear of big government is near record high.
Well, I don't think he was in favor of big government. I think he was in favor of destroying this country.
Well, maybe so. Again, it's the you can come up with, I'm sure the people in the audience, think about it. What did this guy stand for? I mean, he didn't do the blacks any good. The blacks supported him, right? But he didn't help them. He tried to help the illegal aliens come into this country. He didn't help blacks. So you can't just say he was there to help black people. What's he care about illegal aliens other than they pose a threat to this nation?
He helped the LGBTs.
I understand.
So he did.
He's all over the board.
Did. No, like he had more passion for some areas than others. The ones that you mentioned, yeah. I mean, for the good of this country, yeah, there was no passion at all.
Not that I was able to see.
You know, but...
Not that I was able to see. In a sense, I look at Obama, and he is still a mystery to me. What the heck was he trying to accomplish? And there's a lot of possible answers, and I've heard probably, I imagine I've heard most of them, and they all carry a certain amount of weight, but I just don't see any consistency. What was he trying to do? In any case, that would be one of the reasons, Obama may be one of the reasons why our fear of big government has continued, has generally increased over the years. And
I would have to interrupt. I get the Gallup poll and everything like that. I think we've seen the response of the people through the election, but I don't see it as a fear. I think it's more of an economic fear.
Mm-hmm.
I see it more as a fear of other things. I don't per se. This is my. I can't imagine, you know, the people actually fearing, but I think they have fear other things. I think they see the. I think they see the violence that is beginning to spread. I think, and we've seen how government has really done nothing to stop it, to address it, or anything. We've seen people know we're stretched, and we've seen the decay of this country. I mean, there's only one place that you can really blame it on, and that's Washington. So are they?
That's part of the reason we fear government.
I bet they're concerned.
Well, they're concerned.
I'm not so sure it's a fear.
Well, maybe not, but I would say that that's not far removed from the idea that what the heck has Obama been up to for the last 8 years? I mean, the fear of government is not simply a fear where you sit back and tangibly say, well, they're going to put tanks on the street. No, they're not. But they're going to do other things. They're going to pass laws that may have a good title and they may sound like a good idea, but you look into the details, it's like the Affordable Care Act. Are these people just that stupid? Are they that stupid in Washington, D.C., or are they doing it to us intentionally? And we don't know. This is like talking about Obama. What does he stand for? If you don't know what he stands for, but he's got a bunch of levers that he can control and buttons that where he can apply power, you have to have some confidence that the people in government actually stand for something that can be identified and that you support. I don't see that that's there.
What do you think Mr. Trump stands for?
I think he stands for winning. I don't think he's an ideologue in the sense, an idealist. I don't think that's what he is. But I think he's a pragmatist, and he's America number one, all right? Not because for moral reasons, the same reason he would support a particular football team if his son was playing on that team. I think that's the way Trump operates. And maybe that's good enough. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a perfect solution, but it's the sort of thing where, fine, he's at least playing to win. We've had, I don't know, Obama has been playing to give it away. He's not playing to win.
They've been giving it away for years, Al.
I understand he's not the only one. And that's why people sit back and you can see it, you can sense it, but you can't precisely identify it. There's a certain mystery. What are these people doing in Washington? And until we understand that, I think people are going to be increasingly wary of Washington. We're not just going to sit back, oh, sure, I'll trust him. He's a congressman, or I'll trust him. He's a senator or a federal judge or whatever.
I'll guarantee you the 2/3 of the people who say they fear the government certainly don't go out and vote locally. Or we wouldn't be perhaps having the problems that, you know, maybe they wouldn't be.
It isn't
as
a question
fearful.
Of just voting. You got to pay attention on a daily and weekly basis. You can't just show
that's
up for politics
well,
every 4 years when the president runs for office. You got to be there.
I'm not talking about every 4 years when the president. I am talking about the local elections and so forth. So if they were involved in that, there wouldn't be the fear of 2/3 of this country. So you have 2/3 of the people that are saying that they're fearful of the government, but yet they do nothing about it.
Well, maybe they will. I mean, part of this
or
is
they would have been doing
I did this for 30
about.
Years, and it was discouraging to have so few people, as a percentage basis, so far as I knew, that were supporting the kinds of ideas I was advocating. But once you see this and say, ha ha, there's 67% that agree with you, all of a sudden that gives you confidence. You're ready to stand up. You know the two out of three people in the audience are going to say, yeah, buddy, we agree with this guy who's worried about the government. And the government has to know it too.
Yeah, but there's
all by itself, this is the sort of thing that will discourage government abuse of powers.
But there's also other areas. I mean, just like myself, I mean, I've been doing this for, in this, I mean, I get for just as long, you know, but we do things to help people in other ways so they don't have to fear what Washington does to their savings and to their retirement accounts and to their pension accounts. So, I mean, there are things that people can do to protect themselves. There are things that people can do to change things. But, you know, hey, until things get really bad, and I think we're going to experience a lot of nasty things, a lot of, I say volatility because I don't want to scare people. But I think we're going to see a lot worse than volatility, folks. I say volatility, like I said, I don't want to scare you, but it's coming. And I think 2017 is you're going to get to experience it. We've been talking for how many years? Well, you know, both Al and I have been doing this for a long time, longer than, you know, since after Bob Chapman and Al and I started doing programs together. You know, we talk about these serious things happening and how we're going to see the decline and the social unrest and so forth in this country, the possibilities of it. Well, folks, I think we're there. I think we're going to see it in 2017.
We shall see. Hang on for another 11 and a half months and we'll know for
sure.
Hope
I'm wrong.
In the meantime, we're going to have to take a weekend off. Thank goodness it's Friday. Melody and I are out of here. We're out of time. We'll be back on Monday.
Our office is still open, Alfred. So
all right, the office is still open,
yes.
But the radio program is closed. Be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.